Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FDIC. Hey, Chicago, your favorite local businesses are in need of your support. Visit lovelocalchicago.com on ways you can help with businesses in your community. Find out which restaurants are still open for carryout and delivery. Browse the merchandise shop that benefits local businesses. Or make a donation to those who need it most right now. Local businesses are the heart and soul of each of our communities. So let's do what we can to help them in these difficult times. lovelocalchicago.com is presented by Entercom Chicago and Radio.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Hilo will inbound. He gets it into Nance, gets the ball back, drives to the hoop, lays it in with 3 seconds to go. Two injured Warriors, Hilo with an ankle, Price with an injured groin, have played the games of their lives.
They had Craig Hilo on me at the time, which, in all honesty, was a mistake because the guy that played me better was Ron Harper.
I said, "Coach, I got MJ. I got MJ." So the coach tells me, "I'm going to put Hilo on MJ." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, whatever."
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Hilo. Good! The Bulls win it! The Bulls win it!
It was so dramatic, and it was typical what we'd see Michael do the rest of his career in big moments.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
The Last Dance. Big part of our sports diet these last 5.5 weeks. Glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. Danny Parkins has the day off. I'm Danny Mack. Mark Grody is sitting in with me today. We're on the air until 6 o'clock, and it is our pleasure to be joined right now by a man you heard featured in those highlights, for him lowlights, but Craig Hilo, the Cleveland Cavalier, is joining us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Craig, good afternoon, and thanks for the time. Where are we talking to you from today? You back in the Northwest?
Yeah, I live in Spokane, Washington. So when I went to school at Washington State, I met my wife, and she was from Spokane. And we always enjoyed coming back here, so we made it our home.
Ah, excellent. How is your area dealing with the pandemic? How close to normal life are you experiencing right now?
Well, you know, Seattle kind of being the hub of it is 300 miles due west of us, so we are not really in the same situation as Seattle has been, but the governor has been straight across the board and still has us in lockout and stay at home until there's no cases that are being called. So, you know, I live out in the country here in Spokane, and we've been holing up out there, so it hadn't really affected me as much as, you know, getting out and stuff. But hopefully we're getting back to normal. I don't know about y'all, but this is just insane.
Yeah, it's been really tough, and as you would expect, you know, we living and reporting from Chicago, it's a little bit different because of the population and the density. So we are, you know, the rules are slowly but surely starting to loosen up a little bit, and they will at the end of May for us. But yeah, it's been tough. And Craig, I was so excited to see that you were coming on with us. I really appreciate you coming on with us. And you had to know that if you were going to be on with the Chicago radio station, that the year 1989 might just come up. I was just talking about this with Dan, your legacy to anyone in Chicago, or any Bulls fan is you're the guy guarding Michael Jordan on what we call the shot in 1989 in the playoffs in that game five. Does that follow you around at all, or is that just us in Chicago?
Oh, anytime I meet anybody on the street, at the grocery store, just, you know, passing by, and they hear my name, that's the first thing that is the icebreaker, is they have to ask me if I'm that guy that was involved with the shot. So pretty much part of my life ever since it's happened. So I used to have a sour taste in my mouth about talking about it because it wasn't always good, but, you know, if I'm going to be associated in the NBA history books with what I consider the greatest player to play the game, and Michael Jordan, and just the rivalry that I had with Chicago when I was in Cleveland, or actually Cleveland and Chicago, it's lovely to be part of that. So, you know, after about 10 years past the anniversary date, and then I started getting calls about being in a commercial and getting paid for it, and if it was all right with me, I started riding that horse, and I haven't stopped riding him since.
Nice. A dubious distinction for a guy who spent, 14, 15 years in the league. How put off were you by some of the comments made during The Last Dance by Jordan and by Ron Harper, your former teammate?
Well, first of all, I was so excited that I do Washington State men's basketball radio broadcast, so we were in Vegas for the tournament, and when it all got canceled and everything started happening, you know, that's when I came home, and then that's when I figured out I'd planned, you know, in June or whenever it was coming on to watch it then, but I was thrilled when they moved it up and gave us, like you said, our appetite for sports has been filled by The Last Dance. So I rush in. We have a lake place over in Idaho, 30 minutes from us, and we don't have a TV out there. So I rush in for episode 3 and 4, and I only have my dogs. My wife stayed out there, and my kids are old and gone. So we turned it on, and all of it was going great. I was loving everything. And then we go to real time when Michael says, honestly, that was a mistake. I didn't take that personal. I thought he was more directed at Coach Wilkins and the staff for making that decision. But my jaw dropped when Ron said, Coach, I got MJ. I got MJ. And because I didn't hear it. I honestly did not hear it. But if you go back, that we score, they call timeout. We know that we got a timeout. So that first timeout, Ron could have easily said it to Coach because we were all kind of standing around. But the second timeout, when we went out and saw how they were going to be set up, we came back, and I didn't hear anything from Ron then. So I've tried to watch kind of some highlights of it and where Ron was in the vicinity with Coach Wilkins. But I think Coach Wilkins had an interview also that and Mark Price did a couple, I think, and they all said that they didn't recall it happening that way. So I thought, well, maybe Michael and Ron are such good friends after their 3 championships and they still hang out and play cards and golf together. Maybe they fabricated that for good TV.
Why not? Well, you know, the dirty little secret about you, Craig Elo, and I think that basketball fans know this, is you were a good, at least I think you were a good defensive player. And that's a trait that in relative terms, not a lot of NBA guys could say. You were a good defensive player. So that said, if we're just playing this hypothetical and relitigating and all that kind of stuff, was Ron Harper a better defensive player, or were you were you better suited to cover Jordan on that particular play or in general?
So here's the thing. I come to Cleveland on the 10-day contract, and we get a couple injuries where all of a sudden I'm on the court with Ron Harper and Johnny Newman's coming off the bench. So I played 4 years with Ron, and I remember the first time we played Chicago, he was like, hey, you take MJ, and I can rest on defense and do offense, because that's what he was known for, coming out of Miami. So it wasn't even a Coach Wilkins decision. It was Ron Harper passing that on to me. So in the next 4 years that I was teammates with Ron, every time I came into the game, again, we're on the court together, I just went to MJ so Ron could actually rest and be our offensive threat. So it did surprise me that there were some comparisons. Now, Ron, his 3 years in Chicago at that point in his career was not doing the offense because Pippen and Michael obviously had that. So he became a very good defender and for Coach Jackson played, the best offensive guy all the time for him. So I'll give him credit for that. But it was just really just kind of a happy-go-lucky thing where Ron just knew that he could rest on defense when I was in the game when we played Chicago.
You know, when I heard Ron Harper, recent Ron Harper, talking, I was just so overjoyed, Craig, because even though you might not like what he said, I remember him. I went to Ball State, and he's at Miami of Ohio, and he used to have a terrible speech impediment, and worsened by having to speak in front of large crowds. And when you're the star he was, I remember seeing his college coach, Jerry Pearson, have to hold him by the hand to get him through post-game news conferences because he hated it so much, but he grew enormously as a person. Forget the NBA.
Yeah, no, and here's something very ironic. So when I come to Cleveland, guess who's my partner next to me in the locker room? Ron Harper is next to me. And in those days, the media came into the locker room to interview you for the games. We didn't go out to some press room or table for whatever reason. They hadn't come up with that idea yet. So I actually had to help Ron finish some of his statements that when he was asked questions, and we had a very good relationship and he didn't mind that at all. But yes, the stammering and the stuttering, but he is, like you said, over the course of time and the years that he played and in the public eye and in public speaking, he's definitely gotten a lot better. But those first few years, yeah, it was hard to get something out.
Talking to Craig Elo here on the McNeil and Parkins show, Mark Rohde filling in for Danny Parkins today. And Craig, there's only a few fan bases around the NBA that I feel like actually did not like Jordan. Like, I think Utah was one of them, maybe New York, although I think they appreciated him. And then Cleveland would be the others because of the number of times that he burned the Cavaliers. And so my question is to you, do you think that MJ was the greatest of all time? And did you find them to be a pain in the ass back in the day?
No, because it goes back to what my father taught me at a very young age. And he loved sports, and he had me in all the sports. And he always told me that, and this is my father, you're the best one out there, and you always want to play against the best. And I remember after that game, going home and getting a phone call from my dad and not saying anything about the loss or anything, just that it was a great game to watch. And he finished our conversation with exactly that. He said, obviously you're my son, but you were the best one out there tonight. And it did. I did have a good offensive game, and especially in the fourth quarter in crunch time. And you got to go center stage with the best player ever to play the game. So I agree with my dad. He is the greatest player. The championships that he won, the way he stayed in Chicago, and, roster changes came and went, and guys got rings because of him. And one of those guys was a good friend of mine, Steve Kerr, that got the three in the last three with him. So here's the best thing. I love playing against Michael because he brought out the best in you. He competed, and I think we all learned that from how he was, described about being competitive and the attitude and everything. And yeah, he'd cut your heart out. I mean, he did not want to be your friend on the court. And, it was obvious. But as soon as that line, as the last buzzer sounded and you walked across that line, there was always a handshake and a respect that he always showed and always granted me.
Craig, going into that 89 series, you guys had come in clean against the Bulls. You ran the table in six meetings. Can you remember what your confidence level was as a group heading into that series?
Yeah, because so the team that they built was done through the draft with Brad, Mark, Ron, Hot Rod. Then we got Larry, obviously, as a veteran. And, that team was talked about because of the way they built it, that if anybody was going to challenge for some championships, it was going to be the Cavaliers, because you had a center and you had an off guard, you had a point guard, you had a shot blocker. So a lot of good things. And I remember at one point in that season, we were like 42-8. And then Mark got a concussion, and we didn't do well without him. But yeah, I mean, three times in at home and three times on the road in your division, we handled the Bulls very well and didn't have a problem with them. And I got to say that we weren't overconfident, but we definitely knew that we was the 3 seed and they were the 6 seed, and that we had the upper hand on them. But they come in and steal game one from us, and then it's a dogfight.
Let me piggyback on that, the perhaps maybe overconfident nature that your team had. I'm thinking about game four, where Jordan actually kind of screwed the game at the end with missing free throws down the stretch in game four. So you guys had to have been really confident going into game five, because now you're out of Chicago, back in Cleveland. Jordan kind of chokes it away at the end. Were you guys feeling it before that game?
Oh, definitely. That game, that fourth game was nip and tuck. I mean, they had won the third game, so they had the lead, and it was the best of five. So all they got to do is close us out. And at the end of the game, yeah, Michael played in a lot of minutes, and had to be a little bit exhausted. Yeah, clanked a couple of free throws. We were able to score and take it to overtime and win that game and come back to Cleveland for game five. And, I mean, that's what you play the season for, was to have that last game and home court advantage. And I thought we did have the home court advantage. There were 21,000 fans in there that were just ready to rip and roar and tear the building down with a victory. And I got to tell you, they were entertained. It was a great game. I don't think anybody got up by 10 or more points, maybe less than that. And then those last 2 minutes where it went back and forth, and the last 6 seconds, obviously, that you played, our play worked to perfection, and then their play worked to perfection because they got it to MJ, and he did what he did. And I guess because it was such an iconic fist pump and celebration, and Doug Collins running onto the floor, that it was just made for perfect NBA entertainment. And it changed the course of both franchises in my book. I felt like we still had the team that could beat Chicago, because they were obviously knocking at the door against the Pistons at that same time. So I felt like we still had the opportunity, but as with the Knicks, as with anybody else that came across them, these guys won, and they won handily each time, and it's obvious they got 6 banners hanging up in Chicago Stadium.
Craig, this has been a lot of fun for us. Our listeners have been texting us for the last 10 minutes, really enjoying it as well. Thanks so much for giving us some time today. Have a great day. Stay safe out there, man.
Well, thank you. And I got to say, I love the Chicago fans. I remember walking down Michigan Avenue one night after we ate somewhere, and people just screaming at me saying, "Hey, Jordan's going to kick your ass." And I love that kind of stuff. It was great. So I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Craig. Take care. That's Craig Elo, the former Cleveland Cavalier, and played for a handful of other NBA teams over 15 seasons at the professional level. That was really good stuff. Nice going, guys, back at the shop for taking care of business. Grody's, we got a break, man. We're running way behind. Grody's in for Parkins. I'm Mac. And when we get to the top of the hour here in just a little bit, we're going to shift gears and talk some Bears past and present. Don't go anywhere. It's The Score, Sports Radio 670.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.